Friday, 27th of June, Kof Dalit Sivan, Rabbi Levi Sheller, Korach and Steak.
Rabbi Isa, good morning. I'd like to discuss this morning a bit of a general topic on this week's parsha. Not a specific diuk in a pasuk or in a rashi, but what is the theme? Sometimes the simple story, as it's taught in school, in kindergarten, is required explanation. It's not so straightforward. We know the simple reading of the story is that Korach was jealous. What triggered the jealousy was the fact that he thought he would be appointed as a Nazi or whatever. He wanted Kuhuna Gidoyla, and he gathered the people together and he created a rebellion. And he spoke out against Moshe Rabbeinu, and he managed to, he was very charismatic, very persuasive, and he managed to take together 250 people from the greatest and the finest of Klal Yisrael in the third day in the Midbar. But that's obviously pshat, and ein mikra yotze midei pshutoi, that's the pshat. Korach was consumed by one of the three most destructive human traits, kino, jealousy. That's the pshat. But often, beyond the pshat, is a deeper dimension. And it doesn't negate the pshat. Because the kino was there, but how did he justify the kino? What was the underlying? How did Korach explain it to his chaverim in yeshiva, the lamdim, that would speak only a lamdish shesprach? He wouldn't tell them, hey, he took a job, he should have given it to us. There was a lamdis here. There was a rationalization that made sense to the mind of people who consider themselves altruistic, who consider themselves to be not driven by kina or sina. So what was Korach's mistake? That's question number one. Question number two. Tosfos and Rashbam in Bava Basra in Perek Yeshnoich in Daf Kuf Yutes bring from the Seder Rabba, from the Seder Olam was written by the Amir Roim, bring that the Maisa of Korach happened when, chronologically, when did it happen? It happened after Sifur HaMeraglim. Korach's rebellion took place after the story with the Meraglim, not before. The truth is that the Mizrahi was Medayik, maybe that there's a difference, there's Avgodis Chalukos, and our Chalukim on this, the Maral says that's not true. Everybody's in agreement on this. Rashi seems to go with the Shita as well, because we see that when Moshe Rabbeinu vayishlach Moshe likroi ledotam v'laaviram. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu sends, Dotam v'laaviram was scandalous. Korach had a good record up until this point. Korach was considered a tzaddik, a rosh yeshiva, a chashev yid. Dotam v'laaviram was scandalous. They were lowlifes. They were troublemakers from the beginning. Their whole agenda was to create ruckus and cause problems. Moshe Rabbeinu sends the call for Dotan Vavira. So the Rashi, Mikan, Shein, Machzikim, B'machloikis. It's a halacha. Which means that if somebody sets out to antagonize you and provoke you and cause you tzaris, if there is a possibility that you can resolve things and you don't, you're even on the issur of being Machzik B'machloikis. You're innocent. You did nothing wrong. This person set out with an agenda just to get you. You're 100% okay. But there is a possibility, even a remote one. And he didn't exhaust that possibility to try to amend things. Why is the chiv on you? Chiv should be on the other person. He's the one who instigated things. He's the one who caused the whole problem. This we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that it's a machzik and machlekes. You're not allowed to be machzik and machlekes. And you can be machzik and machlekes in a peaceful way. I don't go to that shul. Not, I don't have any kindness to anyone, but it's not for me because of X. If you bear that in mind for X amount of years, that is Yisrael Hafiz B'machlekes. But this is in parentheses. Moshe Rabbeinu sent to Dotan Baviram and he says to them, let's talk. There's no one to talk to. Dotan Baviram are not people you can rationalize with. They're not people you can have a dialogue with. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, let's talk. And they take your response and says, you can poke our eyes out if we won't talk to you. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Rashi is Medayek, that in the response to Moshe Rabbeinu, they say to him, "Hama'at ki helisonu meretzavas kolav udvosh lahamiseinu ba'midbar." You've taken us out of eretzavas kolav udvosh. That's the ultimate cynicism. They say Mitzrayim is suddenly the eretzavas kolav udvosh. You've taken us out of a land of milk and honey. It was wonderful. Things were great in Mitzrayim, and you took us lahamiseinu ba'midbar. Now, Rashi says, what do you mean Lami saying about Midbar? Who said that they're going to die in the Midbar? So Rashi says, this was after they were told, Bamidbar has a Yipu Pigrechem. So we see from the Psukim, from the Mashmos HaPsukim, we see that this happened after the Sipur HaMeravim. So we know the time span. This happened after the Sipur HaMeravim. The question is, when was the minui of Kuhunah? When was Arna Kohen given Kuhunah Gdoila for himself and his family? When was Shevet Levi selected as Kohen? That happened immediately upon the Akamas HaMishkan, which was the Shchedesh Nisan. Sipur HaMeravim concluded when? Tisha B'Av. Between the Shchedesh Nisan and Tisha B'Av, there's a half a year. If the purpose of Kairach's claim was that there's no entitlement for Bnei Levi or for Kuhunah to be adopted with Mishpachas Aaron, then why did he wait all these months? Why did he wait until after Sipur HaMeravim? That's question number two. Why did he wait? Why not bring it up immediately? Now again, in chat, there's obvious answers here. If he was waiting, he was waiting who's going to be Nisman Mishaver, or maybe Poshet, he wanted to utilize the momentum. Now this was a time when everybody was resentful of Moshe Rabbeinu. So I'm saying about Midbar, that's when he can get the sympathy of the people. We have nothing to lose, we're dying here anyway. That's in chat. But we're going to explore that there's a connection here between Sipur HaMeravim and Kairach. And that's what triggered the time of Kairach. One last question. And that is, if you look in the actual time of Kairach, Kairach says, Rav Lochem Bnei Levi. Rav Lochem. It's too much for you. You've taken too much. Ki kol ha'edo kulam kedoshim ubetoichem Hashem. Umadua tisnachu akal Hashem. If you look at these words, Kairach's claim wasn't, why are you the head? I should be the head. He was saying, if you learn Pshat, Poshit, types of words, he was saying there should be no head. Kulam kedoshim. Everybody's holy. Who needs Kohenim? Who needs Kohenim kedoshim? Who needs a Yisnatus HaKal Hashem? It's Kulam kedoshim. Then everybody's holy. If everybody's holy, then why should it be someone who's more holy? Why should it be more Kedusha given to Kohenim? Kulam kedoshim. So he wasn't refuting the specific appointee for Kohenim kedoshim. He was arguing against the whole institution of Kohenim Gedolah. If so, then why did he then want it for himself? We see in the Pesukim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Amat Mikem, that you were selected to be Levim, Ki Vagashtem Gam Kohuna. Why do you need Kohuna as well? But were they asking for Kohuna, or were they not asking for Kohuna? If you want kahuna for yourself, if you want a position for yourself, if you want power for yourself, you can't refuse the whole concept of having leadership. If you want to be a leader, you have to validate that concept, it's okay, but it's not you, it should be me. Here he was challenging the whole concept of having kahuna. So this is question number three. Basically, I want to share with you today a pshat that's based primarily on the Ariza on this week's Pasha. He says like this. Let's go back and see what happened with the Meraglim. What was the mistake of the Meraglim? Where did the Meraglim go wrong? We're talking about the very beginning of Kal Yisrael. The beginning of Kal Yisrael. Kal Yisrael was in its infancy. It wasn't necessarily clear in everybody's mind what does it mean to be a Yid. The foundations, the fundamentals that we take for granted, that we have with our mother's milk. Kal Yisrael at the time was a novelty, was a new thing. They were introduced to a concept of Asherah HaShechinah. They were introduced to a concept of bringing down the Shechinah into the world, building a Mishkan. These were new things. And there was the risk of misinterpreting them. Says the Arizal that if you look at the words of the Meraglim, two things. First of all, the Meraglim say, Ki chozok hu mimenu. Mimenu, says the Gemara, mimenu from the Rebbeinu Shel Mafil Balabayit and Yochel Oithias Caleb. How could that be? How could they have said this to him? Were they idiots? We're talking about Anshei Shem. We're talking about selected, hand-selected finest of Klal Yisrael. They didn't see what the Eibishah can do, what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can do to Mitzrayim. They didn't see the Nakis. They didn't see what happened to Mitzrayim Alayah. And we say in the Shira, Namoigu Kol Yerishvei Kanan, the whole world trembled from what happened. If you look what happens later on, when they do go and Achav and Yeshua, they were all shivering from Klal Yisrael. Chazakum Yimenu, why? Because they're a little taller? Because they're a little stronger? Well, what do they see that convinced them that here the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself is not going to manage? That's the question. But before that,
the Meraglim says that Arizal had an underlying agenda. They had a problem. They had a philosophical problem. They had a problem in Hashkafa. They had a problem in their attitudes to Torah and Mitzvahs. The Meraglim said, it's a land that consumes its Yerusha. In Pshat, it means people died it. People died it. Okay. Now Arizal says, Eretz means Arzius. Arzius. Am Ha'aretz normally is referred to as an ignorant person. That's Pshat, but there's a deeper Pshat in Am Ha'aretz. Am Ha'aretz means a person who's committed and dedicated and whose life solely focused on Arzius. He's an Am of Arzius. Gashmi. Eretz Oicheles Yeshua. What does it mean when something is consumed? What happens when you eat something? Take a biscuit, you make a burger, and then you eat it. What happens? It becomes part of you. The biscuit ceases to be a separate entity, and it becomes you. Nasa dam ubasa kipsore. It becomes part of you. It gives you energy, and every particle of your being is sustained and nourished by that biscuit. It's no longer a biscuit. It becomes part of you. It became part of you. Eretz oicheles yoshveho. The arzius of Eretz Yisrael will consume us. We will lose our identity as Klal Yisrael, as the Am HaNivchar that Dovuk BaHashem, and we will be consumed by Arzius. We will become totally overtaken by Gashmius. In the Midbar we have a Mishkan. In the Midbar we have Asherah Sashchina. In the Midbar you don't have to go unplanned. There's no Sidur of the path. You don't have to have Chrisha, Zeriya. You don't have to make sure you have better produce than your neighbor. You don't have to sell it at a good deal. You don't have to hustle to make a Parnassah. You have life taken care of you. The things that take up our lives today, which is food, shelter, and clothing, etc., and healthcare, this was all taken care of in the Midbar. Everything was looked after. In the Midbar, they could remain in a world of ruchnius. So they said, Eretz Oicheles Yoshvehi. Here we're going to be consumed. Why do they think that? Why do they think that Klal Yisrael, a third day, can't sustain themselves, can't retain their spiritual identities, even in Eretz Yisrael? Why were they convinced that it's not going to happen? On what basis? Speculation. Eretz Yisrael, maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe Klal Yisrael has the strength, has the fortitude to withstand the temptations and difficulties of Arzius of Eretz Yisrael. How did they know not? So here was their mistake. They understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam is confined and limited only to the world of Ruchnius. In the world of Gashmius, he has no input. Kedusha means Ruchnius. A physical act doesn't relate to Kedusha. A physical act, doing Gashmius act, means nothing. There is no mukling to connect to Hashem, to retain, to be conscious of Hashem present in Gashmius. That's why they said, Kichozoku Mimenu. Of course, in Mitzrayim, where the Ribbono Shel Olam was running the show, Lemailo Miderech HaTeva, it was Kulei Ruchnius. There wasn't an army. We're not sending spies. We're not creating our own Gashmius strategies to wage a war. Hashem Yilochim Lachem Ba'atem Sacharishun. Of course he could win anyone. If they were 10 times the size, he would also win them. But we're going into Eretz Yisrael, and we're going in on a Gashmius level, on a natural Teva level. In Teva, there's no room for the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're going to do business, you have to look at your balance sheet, there's no Ribbono Shel Olam there. You have to run an army, you need to have strategy. If you can do it, you can do it. If you can't, you can't do it. The Ribbono Shel Olam has no place in Gashmius. This was the Tos HaMeraglim. This was the Tos HaMeraglim. Chozakum Yimeru! Not because he can't touch Hashem, because that's the way the world works. There's Ruchnis and there's Gashmius. Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, but it's not a Lugnei Adam. You're going into Arzius, you're up to Lugnei Adam. We can't do it. So both of these things were the same claim. Number one, we're going to fall spiritually because in Gashmius you can't hold on to the Ribbono Shel Olam when you go into Gashmius. Number two, in Gashmius the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't interfere. If he doesn't interfere, we have to see how we're going to do it. And we determine based on our observations that it cannot be done. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Im chafit banu Hashem, if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to survive in Gashmius, you could be a Yid, you could be a holy Yid, even in the world of Gashmius. And if he wants that his victory should come through the medium of a strategic army, it could also happen. And what that happens by Yeshua, they go with an army, and the strong people go on the front, and the weaker people go on the back. They take natural Teva means. But how does it happen in the end? The Netzun Hashemayim. There's no contradiction. You think you're going to the doctor is healing you. Not just going to sleep. You work so hard. You think the doctor is healing you. The doctor is not. The doctor is the means for the patient to heal you. You think there's an army protecting you? The army is the means of the Baruch Hu to protect you. In Teva, in Gashmius, in Arsius, you have the Yad Hashem every step of the way. This was the Torah of the Meraglim. So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Meraglim, you want to stay in the Midbar because you want to retain your Ruchni. You're making a mistake. There are mitzvahs maisiyos. There are mitzvahs maisiyos, physical acts that can happen in Eretz Yisrael that you cannot do in the Midbar. Those are infinitely valuable. Those are things that we cannot even imagine their preciousness. That gashmi is the act of being zeireya, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to, and of refraining in shnas hashmita from doing that malacha. All the mitzvahs hatzluyos ba'aretz, in the earth, just an opportunity for mitzvahs. This was a revelation to the mind. The physical act could be a manifestation of your connecting to Hashem. The Meraglim put on tefillin. The ikar of the tefillin was that there's seven straps and they correspond to the seven midos. And then there's the tefillin on the head, which is the moichin, the gimel moichin. And the moichin control the midos. And the moichin and the midos have to both be kavuf to the dvar Hashem that's in the tefillin. They have all the kavanas harashash. Their tefillin, their hanach of tefillin, was the ruchnis, did you think? It was the ashmis aspect as well. But that wasn't the important thing. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're making a mistake. If you have a yid, and this is the halacha, if you have a yid, let's say even say oinus, it's not his fault. He's sitting in Siberia and he's imprisoned, and he cannot put on tzum, and he spends 7 hours thinking all the kavanos of tzum, of hanachas tzum, kavanos that we don't even know about, kavanos harizal, kavanos haramak, all the kavanos of putting on tzum, but he doesn't actually put on the tzum on his arm, and then you can have another yid who's rushing to work. He doesn't have too many kavanas. He just knows he's doing Rosh Hashem. He has to put on tefillin. He puts on tefillin and he daven, then he takes it off and goes to work. Who is the head of who? I'm not talking about the gavra. I'm talking about the lemaisa. Who performed an act of a mitzvah and who did not? He didn't do the mitzvah. He's an oinus. We're not going to hold it against him. He's not going to be accountable for it because it wasn't up to him. But he didn't do the mitzvah. The physical act has more impact. More impact, more connection to Hashem, draws down more Asherat Hashem, whether or not we're aware of it, than all the Kavanot Ruchniyot. Rebbe Yisrael wanted, for reasons that we may never know or don't need to know, he wanted the Dafke Kiyum of Mitzvahs Maisiyot, as opposed to Kavanot HaMitzvahs. That is the purpose, that is the Ma'aleh Ratzon Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Chafet Banu Hashem, don't look at what you want, look at what Rebbe Yisrael wants. He wants key mitzvahs. Mitzvahs. In Eretz Yisrael, there's more mitzvahs. There might be less ruchnis, but there's more mitzvahs. If there's more mitzvahs, you have to pursue mitzvahs. If you're in a matzav al pidin, if you're in a matzav where you can do more mitzvahs, and you'll be on, you have less chassadus, where you can have more chassadus and less mitzvahs, you have to go do the mitzvahs. That's the din, right? The Vatan Talmud Torah, which means that she has a last comes along Kairach after the story of the Meraglim, and he says like this: Moshe Rabbeinu, you just revolutionized our approach. You just taught us that it's the mitzvahs maisiyos that matter. Okay, very good. Now let's see. Where are the differences between one yid and another yid? There are holier people and there are less holy people. Where is that difference manifest? When is there a difference? In the maisim or in the kavonis? In the ruchnis or in the gashmis? The gashmis were all the same. Kulam kedoshim. Everybody puts on the same tefillin. Everybody's equal. The difference between one person and another person is in the ruchnis. How much are you masid? How much do you understand? How much are you spiritually elevated? And you can go from level to level in kedusha, higher and higher, things that are beyond our asagis. But that's all in the ruchnis. Moshe Rabbeinu's act of putting on tefillin says Kairach is the same of a 13-year-old boy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just knows that he's doing a mitzvah, and he's the kind of mitzvah putting on tefillin. In gashmius, in maisa, we're all equal. Why do we need Kohen? And he goes further and he says, what was the avodah of the Kohen? What was the avodah of the Kohen? The avodah of the Kohen was Hadlokas HaNeiros. What does it mean to be Madlokas HaNeiros? There's two aspects to Hadlokas HaNeiros, says the Arizal. There's the physical act of igniting the candles, making them burn. But Hadlokas HaNeiros meant something else as well. Neir Hashem Nishmas Odom. Aaron's job was Behalois Kohes HaNeiros, to elevate the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, to bring light into the neshama of Klal Yisrael, into every individual neshama. That was the objective and that was the purpose of Aaron HaKohen, and that's why I mean Amikdash Lo Yitzei, A kohen was b'shas avoda not allowed to leave the Beit HaMikdash. Why? He had to be consumed by kedusha. His life was to bring a ruchnius experience into the soul of the simple Jew on the street. Jew came to the Beit HaMikdash, and the kohen did the avoda for him, and he walked away elevated. He walked away on a different level. He entered a different dimension. We don't cry for the Beit HaMikdash only for the physical act of having the korban being brought on our behalf. We cry for the Beit HaMikdash because of the spiritual contribution that it makes to our existence, to our consciousness, to our soul, to our neshama. That was the function of Aaron HaKohen. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, says Kedach to Moshe, you're contradicting yourself. Who needs this Baalei Chesanit? Who needs the physical? Who needs the spiritual dimension? You need to have the physical act. Do a mitzvah. Aren't you need Kohen and Kohen? Because that's part of Torah. Kohen needs the mitzvah mitzvah. So we could all be Kohen and Kohen. You have 250 people. Let us all be Kohen and Kohen. He was arguing against the institution of a Kohen Gadol that min hamikdash lo yetze, a Kohen Gadol that has kedusha, a Kohen Gadol that represents bringing ruchnius into the lives of Klal Yisrael. That is what he disputed. Kulam kedoshim, madua tisnasu. You have to be a Kohen Gadol on a perfunctionary level. You have to do the physical act. But why do you have to attain? Why do you have to declare for yourself a higher level of kedusha? Kedusha doesn't matter. It's mitzvah ma'isiyos that matter. You say the mitzvah with the going when he was going up with one moment of wearing tzitzit. One moment of wearing tzitzit. I don't remember the mitzvah because I don't want to repeat it. But the going was saying, the shanti was leaving this world, that everything is incomparable to one mitzvah wearing tzitzit. Imagine Naid is going to Gan Eden. You know what Hasadis you have in Gan Eden? We're going to Hasadis in Gan Eden. You know what we're talking about here. And what was he yearning for? For a mitzvah putting on tzitzit. Because mitzvah mitzvah you can't do in Gan Eden. You can go from level to level to level in Kedusha. But there's a value that we don't appreciate. We don't understand why. We don't understand why. But there's a value to doing one mitzvah that is greater than anything. Mishnah says, Yofo Sho Achas. So, mitzvah is a mighty term by Yomazah. We call Chaye Oilam Abo. Chaye Oilam Abo is the ultimate Ruchnit experience. Mitzvah's mighty is nothing. You do an act. Torah is made. That one act is far greater, has more value than all of the ruchnius experiences. So he was like Kayach says, why are you better than the simpleton? Who needs Kayin and Gedayu? Who needs the hisnasus of Kayin and Gedayu? Who needs the Bahalois Chasanatus? Why should you spend an hour in the presence of a Kayin Gadol and being inspired and walking away uplifted? Who needs you to be uplifted? Who needs people to have fuzzy feelings in their stomach? Do you need them to take their arms and do the right thing? Do another mitzvah. Gosh, mitzvah's ma'isiyos, ha'ma'isa hu ha'ikya. That was Kedach time. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? So what's the reputation for this time? If it's a philosophical claim, then if you look in the parasha, we don't see what happens because we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, all he does is he proves that you're wrong and I'm right. He says, let the Rebbein Shalom, because you're holding it against me, I made these decisions, let the Rebbein Shalom prove things. I didn't choose who should be a Kohen Gadol, it's not in my hand. We'll see, Im Chafetz Hashem, you're going to win. If not, I'm going to win. And that's what unfolds, and Klal Yisrael learns the lesson, and they see what happened. The HGSS of Meis Hashem. But where's Taka the Minor? Where's the logical refutation of Kairach's mistake? So that Yisrael says like this, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kairach, Boiker v'yed Hashem. Boiker. Let's wait until the morning. In the morning, we'll see what the Rebbein Shalom is going to want. Why do you have to wait until the morning? Why do you have to wait until the morning? This was by day. The story with Kedach happened by day. Because he showed them a talish of Kuwait, trailers. The story happened by day. Why did he have to wait until tomorrow morning? So Rashi brings two pshatim. One pshat is that he wanted to give them a chance to do tshuva. They go home and they'll reflect and they'll think. And then they might do tshuva, and some of them did tshuva. I mean, the Pelas made a quick getaway from this whole process here. So the Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give them a chance to tshuva. That's one pshat. Another pshat, Rashi says, is that he wanted to show them the distinction that just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu was kaveh a gvulis between Yom and Laila, and there's nothing that you and I can do about it. Yom is holier, is brighter than Laila. He's a gvulis by Lame. That's the way the Moshe Rabbeinu set the system. So too the Arkayanim and Kayanim have more Kedusha than others, and that's the fact, and there's nothing that you and I can do to change this. Not going to help to protest, this is the way that Rebbein Shalom is kaveh the world.
But the truth is, both of these chatim and chaff are a little difficult. First of all, if you want them to wait tshuva, why not get to wait it? Why could wait it? First, could do tshuva b'shaitu chadu b'rigu chadu b'chor rebi yesh kain elama b'shoachas. He could have allowed them sufficient time to do tshuva, but why the emphasis on break it? Why break it? And second of all, according to the second shot in Rashi, if the question was to wait for them to see that distinction between day and night, he could have said Erez. Because this happened by day. Let's wait until after the Shkia. Erez, Yehda Hashem! You'll have that transition from day to night. Why does that have to be a transition from night to day? Why break it?
That this is a remnant to Moshe Rabbeinu's answer to Tainus Kodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kodesh, he misunderstood what happened with the Meraglim. The Meraglim were wrong because they valued the Ruchnias over the Gashmias. They valued the Kavonis over the Maisa HaMitzvahs, over the Kiyum of Ratzon Hashem. Kiyum Ratzon Hashem overrides everything else. But it so happens, says Moshe Rabbeinu, it so happens that the Ratzon Hashem is that your mitzvahs should be inspired, that your mitzvahs should be bright, that they should have light, that there should be a baker, that there should be an element of inspiration in your mitzvahs. So of course the maisa mitzvahs is the ultimate, but you need a kohen gadol so that those maisim should be elevated. Yisrael says that if a person learns Torah shelo lishma, if a person does a mitzvah with the wrong kavanas, the mitzvah is a mitzvah. But it's Shechinta b'Goluso. Shechinta b'Goluso. There's Hashiras HaShechinta, but it's in Golus. A person does nothing. If you read a newspaper, there's no Shechinta b'Goluso. There's no Shechinta in the first place. It's Golus b'Goluso. There's nothing there. If a person does a mitzvah, avada v'kiyum, a mitzvah cannot be changed, and ultimately, the impact of the mitzvah is the same in a 13-year-old boy and a Moshe Rabbeinu. That's true. The mitzvah, the Shechina is the same. But the question is the Shechina in a revealed way or in a concealed way? Are you in touch with what just happened? Are you aware of what just happened? Is it Baikin or is it Erev? It can be Baikin and it can be Erev. Everything that is present in this room will remain present even if you shut the lights and close all the windows and you can see nothing in the room. The table will be here, the chairs will be here, you'll all be here, but I won't see you. And you won't see the table. It's there, but you're not in touch with it. You're not aware of it. That's the difference between Baikin and Erev. Kodesh was told, and Kodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes it here in this week's parasha, avada nothing surpasses doing a mitzvah. But you need to have a kohen gadol, that min hamikdash lo yetze, that should inspire us and give us a sample of what it means to be on a higher level beruchnius. Because if you're not on a higher level beruchnius, the mitzvahs are all there. And the effect is there, but you are not in touch with it. You are blinded to the very experience that's happening at that moment. So the Meraglim's mistake was that they went entirely only for the Ruchnis. And the Ruchnis has no value in proportion to one kiyum of Ratzon Hashem. Korach took the pendulum to the other end, and he said, mitzvahs, we're all the same. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, mitzvahs are a kiyum of Ratzon Hashem. But the Ratzon Hashem is that all of those mitzvahs should be in a matter of beker. You should feel for it. You should have a Hidur mitzvah. You should have kavanas mitzvahs. You should be in touch with the kiyum of mitzvahs. This is equally important. It's equally important. You can never replace the mitzvah. And if there's a question of one or the other, it's always the mitzvah that matters most. But you need to have kedusha. You need to have kedusha in the maisa mitzvah. This rabbeisa is a short summary of the underlying discussion here between Meisha and Kedach. And we should merit to live up to doing the mitzvahs the way we meant to do them, and also be aware of what it is that we're doing. Thank you very much.